So I still remember the day that our oldest son was born. It was a pretty crazy day. It was a Saturday, and we had gone to bed, my wife and I, the night before, and we woke up, and we had no expectation that we were gonna have a child that day. We still thought we had a week. We were gonna be first-time parents. We had a lot of planning to do. And that morning, Susan woke me up. It was pretty early in the morning. She said, "Honey, I think today's the day." And after a call to the doctor, it was right. He was like, "Come on in, come to the hospital. I think today might be the day." So we drove to the hospital and we got there. And pretty quickly, the doctor realized that our oldest son was in trouble, that things needed to happen pretty quickly. So literally within an hour of getting to the hospital, he was born. And I remember the moment that he was born. I got to hold him very, very quickly, and I remember looking at him, and I had some thoughts in my head. I wondered, look, I've known about him for the past 7 months or so, and I'm wondering, what was going on in there? What was he thinking? What was he doing? Now, we found out very quickly he had been doing some somersaults and things like that because his umbilical cord was all twisted up, which was causing some of the problems. But I really wondered so much about him. I had wondered what he would look like. I had wondered what he would be like. And I'm holding him in that moment, and I'm sitting there, and I will never forget what was going through my head. He was absolutely perfect. He was absolutely beautiful. He was absolutely wonderful. And I remember as I'm staring at my child for the very first time, these two specific verses hit me from Psalm 139. "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." Friends, that verse just sat there as I was looking at my child. God had fearfully and wonderfully made him. It was beautiful, beautiful words. He was absolutely perfect. Why? Because God had knit him together. I really don't think I understood that concept myself until I looked at my child, until I thought about the beautiful gift that God had given us in creating him. And I loved him the moment that I laid eyes on him. Today we're starting a new sermon series, and this sermon series is called Living Your Strengths. And at Restoration, we do sermon series that usually last anywhere from 3 to 5 weeks, where we dive more deeply into a topic. And this is a sermon series that I've actually been thinking about for over a year. It's been a really important thing for me. I was in a leadership program last year, and I remember looking at the agenda for the first day of our leadership program, and we were going to do a whole day on these things called strengths. And I thought this was absolutely insane. I could not imagine sitting down and spending an entire day thinking about my strengths or about learning who I was. And I have to tell you, at the end of that day, I was longing for more. It was one of the most powerful days I had in that whole program, because I came to understand that I had talents, that I had strengths that God had given us, that they had given me. And I came to understand that there was this idea that I'd been living with and I'd been thinking through, that Christ wanted me to have life, that Christ wanted me to fully live. And I was struggling to figure out how to get there until I figured out that in order for me to really live, I had to understand my strengths and start to do the things that made my life more full. When I started thinking about this sermon series and things that I wanted to do, I realized that we have to start at the beginning. In order, friends, for us to believe that we have talents and to believe that these are God-given talents, I think we have to come to a few agreed-upon basics. Now, if this is your first time watching or experiencing Restoration Church, I want to say something to you. I rarely get up and speak in absolutes. I rarely get up and say, "You must, we have to." Those are words I try to avoid. I rarely get up and say, "Hey, we have to start with this principle and we all must agree on this principle." But today I'm going to break that rule just a little bit. Today I'm going to say, I think that these two things I'm going to mention today are two truths that I think we have to believe if we want to live the full life that Christ has called us and given us to live. I want to do this today through the lens of one of my very favorite Psalms. And I mentioned it at the beginning, parts of it, as I was thinking about my son. Now, the Psalms are things that are written in about the center of your Bible. And we don't know who the authors of all the Psalms are, but I want you to think of these as people, regular people who are crying out, who are sharing with God, who are sharing their stories with God, or perhaps who are representing a group of people as they speak for the people. And I want to take you today to Psalm 139, and I want to invite you to listen to it as I read it this morning. It says, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night before me or around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth." Isn't that beautiful? I love that psalm. I love that that psalm speaks about the nature of God and, frankly, about the nature of me. I love the gift that we are given in the words that the psalmist brings. I think there are a couple of things, a couple of starting points that if we're going to get to this idea of understanding our strengths, we have to get from this text this morning that I want to share with you. Here's the first thing. I think we have to come to understand and believe that we are known by God. In the psalm, it says, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar." And then it goes on to talk more about all the places that I could try to go where God is there. God is there in the midst of it. You are known by God. I want to say that to you again. You are known by God. I am known by God. If you have somebody that's in the room with you right now, I want you to look at them and just say, "You are known by God." Just do that. You are known by God. Here the psalmist is expressing a basic human desire, I think. A basic human need. The need to be known. So much, friends, of what we talk about in the church is about knowing and understanding God. Coming to get knowledge about God and coming to experience God. And that's really good and really important. But I wonder if we don't spend enough time talking about the fact that we are known by God. If we don't spend enough time talking about that reality that God knows us, and in knowing us, we are deeply loved by God. I think what defines people who call themselves Christians is not the fact that we have all this information about God. It's about our belief in God, but I think it's also about the fact that God knows us. It's about belief and understanding of the love that God has for us. Friends, to try to say that to be a Christian, you have to know everything about God is a preposterous concept. But to say to be a Christian, we have to believe that we are loved by God, doesn't seem preposterous to me at all. So what does it mean to be known? What does that look like? I think to be known, it means that God knows our desires, God knows our hearts, God knows who we are. God knows who we're created to be. And God meets us in the middle of that place where God knows us. I heard a story this week about a principal from a suburb outside of Philadelphia. The guy's name is Brian Swank. And there were a bunch of kids and they were on a bus. And it was snowing, which I think is an ironic story, but it was snowing. And their bus was stuck in the snow. In fact, the bus was stuck in the snow for 4.5 hours. Can you imagine being the bus driver on that bus? A fifth grade kid called their parents and they told their parents about how stressful things were and about what a terrible bus ride it was and how the kids were getting really anxious and the rest of the bus was getting really nervous. And the parents called the principal and they said, "Dr. Swank, is there anything that you can do for these kids?" And the principal knew the kids really well. He's the principal of this elementary school, Pine Road Elementary School. And he said, I think I have an idea. And he called the kid's cell phone. He got the number from the parents. And he called this fifth grade kid. And he said, hey, can you FaceTime? And the kid said, yeah, I can FaceTime. I'm just sitting here on the bus. And he said, all right, hang up. I'm going to FaceTime with you. And the principal called back. And he FaceTimed with the kids. And for 4 hours, the principal sat there and read books to those kids. He got the book out and he read book after book after book. And the kids kind of came around and listened to the principal read the book. See, that principal knew those kids. And he wasn't able to be physically right there on the bus with them, but he didn't have to be. Because the principal was able to meet them right where they were. The principal knew them and he showed love for them. There was a tweet that he shared. And the tweet said, I just FaceTimed with our students that are still stuck on buses. They're warm and in good spirits. I read them some books and assured them that the grown-ups are working hard to get them home safely. See, the principal knew not only the kids, he knew the parents. And he knew that if he tweeted that out, it would make the parents feel better knowing that their kids were okay. The kids were known by the principal. He knew that they needed a call. He met them right where they were. He's a good principal, and he knew how to help them. Friends, God meets us right where we are. We are known. We are loved. It seems like such a basic point, but it's a really important point if we want to get to this point where we believe that God gives us these talents and these strengths. Here's the second point, and this was the thing that I realized when I looked at my son for the first time. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Do you know how many people in our world need to hear that they are fearfully and wonderfully made? You may be a person who needs to hear that this morning. God has given you unique gifts and talents to share with the world. And when we live into these things, we get to that place where we're living the life that gives us life to the full. I want to read again verses 13 and 14 that I thought about when I looked at our son. It says, for you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. You know, one of the things that happens when I meet with people, no matter where people are in their journey, I often ask them a question. I often say, tell me what gives you life. That's an interesting thing to me. I like to know what gives people life. But I also find that it's an important question for people. What gives you life? Here's the challenge with that question. You know, most people can't answer it. Most people can't sit and tell me one single thing that really gives them life. They can't tell me hardly one thing that they wake up in the morning and they say, I am so grateful for this thing because it gives me life. And I think that comes not from the fact that we're all, you know, sad people, that we're all struggling, that we all have challenges. I think it comes from the fact that we don't have that basic belief that we are fearfully and wonderfully made by God. And I'm not talking about just in our heads. I'm saying that we don't fully take it in and believe that. Many people spend their lives, friends, believing that they're boring, that they're worthless. The psalm speaks heavily to the fact that this simply isn't true. You are loved. You are unique. How beautiful would it be to live in a world, friends, where we all believed that we were people of great worth? The idea of living your strengths, this sermon series that we're talking about, begins with us coming to believe that a creator who deeply loves us specifically created us. I spend countless hours with people who don't believe this. Sure, I talk to people a lot who have faith in God. But to actually believe that God loves them, that God fearfully and wonderfully made them, that they matter, that they have worth, that's a much harder thing for people to believe. So how do you get there? I think we have to spend time with people that remind us of that. I think we have to spend time with people who say, you matter, you have value, you have worth. I think we have to wake up in the morning and look in the mirror and tell ourselves that. I think we have to wake up and look in the mirror each morning and say, you are fearfully and wonderfully made by God. God specifically made you. You matter and you have value. I'll never forget that moment of looking at Jackson for the first time, but I also won't forget a moment that I had this past weekend. It was a pretty tough moment. It was with another one of our kids, with our middle child, and we were at a party hanging out with some friends, and somebody said a pretty awful thing to him. a pretty nasty thing to him, and it really, really hurt him. And he was trying to be super brave, and he was trying to be strong. And I looked over at him, and I knew something was going on. And I said, "Hey, buddy, you want to go outside and talk?" And he was clearly visibly upset. And we went out in the car, and we sat in the car, and I said, "What's going on?" And he said, "Hey, this person said this really horrible thing to me." And he asked me if I believed it was true. A kid was being a bully to him, and he said really mean things to him. And I think, friends, I think one of the most difficult things about being a parent is seeing your kids really upset, is seeing them hurt by somebody else, is seeing them realize and believe that their worth is less because of something someone else said or did to them. And I remember in that moment looking over at him and saying, "You matter. You have value. You have worth. You are loved. God created you." Now, I wish I could say, guys, that by me saying that, number one, I was the perfect parent, or by me saying that, I had fixed all the problems. It didn't fix all the problems, but I will tell you what it did. It paused him in the middle of that space and gave him an additional piece of information, or I would say a greater truth. The truth was no longer what this other kid had said to him, that he didn't matter, he didn't have value. A lot of us spend a lot of our lives and a lot of the time in the world hearing that we don't matter or we don't have value. And I think we must begin with the truth that we do. God loves you. God created you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. The world might spend a lot of time trying to tell you otherwise, but I want to tell you a truth this morning that I believe that is true. I want to encourage you to do something this week. This is the beginning of this series, and I want to encourage you to do something. I want to encourage you to do a few somethings. I want to encourage you to go to restorationrestin.org/living-your-strengths. And if that's hard to remember, I'll say it again, restorationrestin.org/living-your-strengths. On that site, you're going to find some information about joining a life group where you can go and you can actually talk for 4 weeks in a row about your strengths and coming to understand them and live into them. I want to encourage you to pick up this book right here. It's called Living Your Strengths, and it's from the Gallup Organization. You can go get it on Amazon. You can get it from the Gallup Organization itself. But I want to encourage every person to pick up a copy of this, because in the back of it, there's a test that you can take where you can find out what are your themes to get to your talents and your strengths that God has given you. And I think it's an important thing for us to do this work where we come and get this. Now, it's one thing to take the test. It's a whole other thing to spend time with people in a group to have conversation about it. I hope you'll do that too. We'll have another option coming up in March where we can dissect this a little bit too. But over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about these strengths. And if you take the test, I hope you'll go to our website, restorationrestin.org/talents, and tell us what your talents are. I think it's an important thing for us to do that together. But I really hope that you'll take the time to do this work. But I think before you do the work, you have to believe those two truths that I said. I think you have to believe that you are loved, that you are known. And I think you have to believe that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. I don't say it often. I don't say often these are the things that you have to believe. Matt's going to come up and he's going to lead another song for us. And as he leads this song, I want to give you that truth, and I want you to ponder that truth. You are known, and you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen.